Yeah, that would have been devastating. I mean, they just got hit hard. That would have sucked, man. I think we would have had to rally the troops and tried to have gotten some people together to go and help them because that would have been a lot. Like, you know, two in a year. That would have sucked. Yeah. All right, so girls, I'm gonna tell you I'm not feeling the best. So Hannah and Jen, you guys can just go with this.
So I think we left off from our last one, just as you had. I know we had talked about meeting family members. I know we had talked about just as the boyfriend and becoming pregnant, and I think we kind of stopped it from there. And so I would like to get back into the continuation. From that point on, if we could, that would be great.
So, I was with the guy about 6 months and I got found out I was pregnant. And the history of Ireland was that there was people on the run from the north to the south. That's the way I'm going to put it. And it was members of something that I can't mention on here.
Right.
So he was one of them. He was on the run. So, as far as he was concerned, that the people from the children's home worked for the British government. And he didn't like the British government. So we had an argument one day. And I asked the home to come and collect me. So they came down and collected me. And he basically ended it with me knowing that I was pregnant. So I
And
was in the home
the
and
homes, what came and collect, who you called to come and collect you?
the children's home, yeah.
Children's home,
At
okay.
nowhere else. Yeah. At nobody else to go to at this stage. So they came and collected me, and then they says to me, because I had nowhere to go, I had no man now and no money, that they would find me somewhere to go that I could have the baby, and then I could give the baby up for adoption, and somebody would look after it that was able to, who had money, who were married. So I don't know whether yous have them over there or not, but in Ireland it was a sin. It was classed as a sin if you were not married and pregnant. And they were institutions, they weren't homes. They called them homes, they called them mother and baby homes. That wasn't the right name for them at all. These homes started out in 1922, and the last one closed in 1996. So it
Okay.
isn't even that long ago that they actually closed down.
Right.
And the generations before me had it a lot harder in these places because there was a lot of illegal adoptions done where people, when they were older, found out they were adopted, but the adopted parents' names were on their birth certificates as their mother and father. So they found it harder then to trace any information from them. But I'm about, I go there in the January, so I'm about nearly 7 months pregnant when they send me to this home. Now, there's only three things that I remember about this home. And I've been told since that that it must have been that traumatic for me. This is why I don't remember it. Mm-hmm. So I remember typing every day from 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 in the afternoon, in the evening.
Like typing, like on a typewriter?
Yeah, in a classroom, typing.
Wow, okay.
I never understood what it was about, but I'll come to that in a bit, that I did find out what it was all about. So, the other thing that I remember was when the baby was actually born and I brought him, I was sent out to the hospital, which was unusual as well, because usually you give birth in the home. So there must have been something wrong that I was sent out to the hospital. I don't remember the birth. I don't remember anything about it. So,
but and why is that? Do you think you just blocked it out, or did they give you medicine, or?
Don't know, really, at all. Okay. But the thing was, from what I gather from other mothers, was that if you were not married, that you didn't receive pain relief.
Oh, wow. That hinged on you being married.
Yes.
That's a little bit of insanity right there. Okay.
No, well, it was classed as that was you paying for your sins.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
That's the way they looked at it, that was you paying for your sins.
And this, and probably the same as when you were doing all the typing. You weren't getting any payment or anything for that. That was kind of considered payment for your sins as well, would you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, came to the day at Gipper, I remember finishing class that day, and it was late on that night that I started these pains and that. And they took me out of there and took me to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Somewhere, early hours of the morning, I gave birth. And for only being 18, so I was 18 in November, and I gave birth in the March. And he weighed in at 8 pound 10.
Wow. That's a big baby.
So I'm presuming they did give me pain relief, because how would I not remember giving birth to a baby that size?
Well, you know, the mind, you know, things that hurt so bad that you don't want to remember them, the brain has this way of just taking it away.
Yeah.
Did you get to see it at all, Marie?
Yes, they took me back to the home with him. So they, I was taken back to the mother and baby home with him. And you were made feed them and that, bathe them. The only thing, you weren't allowed to cuddle them. You definitely weren't allowed to kiss them or that. Or
so there was no bonding time. You were allowed no bonding time.
No, you had to feed them, wash them, put them straight back in. Right. And when I got my files back, it actually says on my files that I was being uncooperative with the staff because I kept running up to see the baby and I wouldn't rest after giving birth. So I'm like, that's not the actions of somebody that wanted to give their baby for adoption.
Well, exactly. And that, yeah, heartbreaking.
And the fact that they wrote in the files that when I went in there, I told them I was keeping my baby. And I thought, that can't be right, because I wouldn't have been put into a place like that if I was keeping my baby.
Yeah.
The nuns have put me in there anyway.
Sounds a little underhanded to me.
The next thing I remember is about 2 weeks later, two of the staff from the children's home that I was in arrived down. And I just happened to look out the window and I seen her yellow car. It was a very distinctive car. And I remember seeing it and thinking, what is she doing here? And I see her and the other member staff walking out with the baby to the car. And by the time I'd run down the stairs and got out, they were gone.
So you didn't even know when your baby was leaving?
No.
You didn't even know your baby was leaving?
No. No. Wasn't given any warning at all. But then, a few weeks after that, I'm taken back to the children's home. And they send me in the bus to the social services office for me to sign paperwork.
And were you forced to sign that? Did you know what you were signing?
I was only a couple of weeks after giving birth, Rainey. I hadn't got a clue. And I was only 18.
Yeah.
So nobody had talked to me or anything about it. I was just brought into this office, made sign this paperwork, and then they let me go out of the office. And I
so
literally...
you're 18 now. Thanks. So do they take you back to the children's home then after that?
After signing it?
Mm-hmm.
No, I was out walking the streets. And I met this stranger, and I'm very upset. And they took me back to their place. And at one stage, I must go to the toilet, and I'm in the bathroom. And there's a bathroom cabinet full of tablets. And I take them, and I end up in the hospital, well, in the mental institution, because I've tried the OD.
Yeah. Heartbreaking.
So then about 2 months later, I meet this guy. I go on a date with him and literally asked me to marry him the second night that I met him.
Oh,
and
wow.
I thought, if I marry him and I have kids, he won't be taken away from me. So I says yes. And I was married to him within 4 months, 5 months. I think it was, yeah, 5 months.
So and did you end up, right? So did you end up, how long were you married?
The first time I was married for 7 years. So I had a baby son the following year. And then I had my daughter a year after that.
Uh-huh.
And she only lived 5 months. She died of a cot death. I don't know what you'd call it in America. It's where... It's called cot death over here. It's sudden death and sudden infant death syndrome.
Yeah, yes. We called it crib death for many, many years. Now it's sudden.
Sudden infant death syndrome, yeah. And then I had another boy after that, and that's the one that's unalived as well.
Yeah, recently.
Yeah. So I literally put up with domestic violence right from the start of the marriage, but I thought it's the only way I'm going to keep my kids is by staying married.
Well, I mean, that was a hell of a lesson you learned. I mean, I can't say that I blamed you. Yeah.
But hey, oh, I got my kids out of it.
Yeah. Is he the father of all your kids? Except your first one?
No, the last two weren't his either.
Okay.
So I came back. By this time, we were living in England, and I came back home to Ireland. And I met somebody else and had the last two by the other person then. But ended up being a single parent for the majority of their lives.
Yeah, that happens. I was a single parent for a lot of years. Yep, it's rough, not easy.
No.
So, where are we at now? Like, how old are you now, around-ish?
So, by the time I had my last child, I was 27.
So, and then you and your husband divorced?
Yeah.
And then what was it like raising... So, how many kids did you have? You had two more. So, you had...
So, my ex-husband took one with him. So, I had the three youngest. Because the baby girl had died. And my oldest son... They took him for adoption.
Right.
So from they were born, I was fighting social services to find out where he was. I wanted to know how he was, even. Just something.
And so you were obsessed with finding him.
Yeah.
And how did that affect your other kids?
Well, they kept telling me that I couldn't look for him, that he had to come looking for me. Seemingly, that was the law back then.
Yeah.
The mother couldn't look for the child, but the child could look for the mother.
Okay.
So, I didn't know till recently how much it actually did affect them. And it was when... I found my son that was adopted, but the only reason I did find him was I ended up having to go public.
Yeah.
I was in newspapers, I was on radio stations, I was doing protests outside government buildings. So yeah, it took a lot of my other kids did suffer from it.
So how old were your children when you told them about your firstborn?
From as old as they could understand. They always knew that there was an older brother that they had taken away. And they also knew that they had an older sister who was dead.
Now, when you found him, how old was he when you finally found him?
A week before his 40th birthday.
Oh, my word. Had he had been looking for you? Had he had known also, or he had no idea?
He knew he was adopted. But the family who adopted him had adopted a girl before him who was older, and she had remembered her family. So she went looking for them, and she didn't have a good experience with them. And then she turned to drugs because of it all. And he says he couldn't put his mother and father through that again, what they went through with the girl. So he didn't want to come looking for us, and he didn't know that that was the law. He always thought when he got to 18 that I would contact him.
Mm-hmm.
And we, like, neither the two of us knew this about each other until... So the social worker sent him a letter, and in the letter, this is one of the things that we're trying to fight to change the law on about the letters that they send. So the letter says to him, this may or may not be somebody connected with you that is looking for you. So he rings him up, and he got the letter he got received it on a Saturday, and he had to wait till Monday, and he rung social services up, and he says, do you know what this is about? And he says, well, I'm presuming it's a sibling or somebody looking for me. As if it was my mother, her name's on my birth certificate, so you'd know that she was related to me. And he says, actually, it is your mother. And he says, why now? He says, why not when I was 18? And they says to him, well, the law was that it was only you could go looking for her. She couldn't come looking for you. And he says, that was never explained to me.
Oh, so he never knew that you weren't allowed.
No.
Okay.
He does now, though.
Yeah. He does now. So what happened was they contacted him on the Monday. He rings them up. They ring me and they tell me that they've just been on the phone them. And then they say, you have to write us letters, send them to social services. They pass them over to him. He writes back and they pass them to me. And I wrote the letter. I sent it to them. Oh, no, I asked them, could I put in photographs of the children? They says no. I asked, could I put in a birthday card? They says no, because I knew it was his birthday the following week. And the next morning I woke up to a message on Messenger saying, I hear you've been looking for me. This is your son.
Oh my gosh, what did that moment feel like?
It was through his partners, because he doesn't do social media. It was through his partners. But I just said, the girl requested me and I accepted. But I thought, I went in and looked and knew she was from my.
I think she's frozen.
A home. Sir, find their children. So I thought maybe it's somebody looking to find their mother. So I accepted her. And then I got that message then the next morning. And I went running. I remember I was in my sister's sitting room. And I went running into her bedroom. And I was like, you're never going to believe it. Guess who I'm talking to? So then he mentioned that he was like an adopted dairyman. I'm like, what do you mean you're adopted dairyman? Have you lived in Derry all the time? And he's like, no, but I've met a girl from Derry and I'm with her and that's where I'm living now. And I actually happen to be in Derry.
So you guys came full circle, didn't you? Is everybody frozen?
I'm not.
Okay. All right. Well, is everybody seeing Marie? There you go.
She's back.
She's back. I got her.
Why had I gone off?
You were frozen for a second.
All right.
But you're back now. So there you guys are, full circle, together, right back where you started. How freaking amazing was that?
The most amazing bit of it was, he says to me, come to my house on Saturday. So I was like, okay, then. He says, to hell with social services, we'll just do it on our own. So he says, you can bring somebody with you. So I brought my sister. And we walked into his house. And he looked at my sister and went, do you not remember me? And my sister's looking at him. And he went, I'm Liliana's daddy. And my sister was Liliana's teacher assistant in her classroom.
Oh my.
Oh wow, so they knew each, oh my goodness. And they didn't even know
the time, but didn't know.
She didn't know that that was her nephew and that that was my granddaughter.
I got chill bumps. That is amazing. Wow.
You've been kind of like one degree away for this period of time. Yeah. And never knew. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It really
But it turned
is.
Out that while he was growing up, his aunt had lived 2 minutes walk from where my house was and my children were growing up.
Oh my gosh, his adopted aunt.
His adopted aunt, and he used to spend the 6 weeks in the summer down there.
So they could have played together as kids and didn't even know it.
Didn't even know it.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Well, this was the other thing, because then he now wants to change that law as well, about that when you're told that you are adopted, you need to be told that you have brothers and sisters, if you have any out there.
Well, because, and I agree with that. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was just thinking that. I agree with that because, you know, he had a sister not far from his age. You know, that could have very, as small a place as you guys were in, the possibilities of that happening, it was absolutely feasible. I mean, I absolutely agree. That could, yeah, and there's really lots of logic behind getting that law changed.
Yeah. They need to be told, because he was saying, like, when he seen her on Facebook, like, he was like, if I hadn't met her, I'd have probably chatted her up.
It right. That's, what'd you call it, though? He'd probably
chatted her up. What do you call it?
I don't know what to call it, but I love your sayings.
So, and that being said, like, so do the two of you guys work together now with all of the, in trying to get these laws passed and trying to get this information out there to people? Do you guys get a chance to work together on doing this?
Well, we were talking to solicitors and that about it all, and there is a couple of court cases coming up that we have to go to about it all, because what they're saying is, like, when I went public, then social services stepped in, but not
so social services is stepping in, even though everybody in question is an adult.
Yeah.
I'm not understanding. See, that would never happen here.
They're trying to cover something up.
Absolutely.
Why they're stepping in. Yeah, that's what they're doing.
And well, I think I'm going to dig into it. Marie, if you want to, send me all the information you have. I'm going to dig into this because, you know, I get obsessed. I obsess.
So there was people, I was actually one of the lucky ones that have actually got to meet their kids, because there's people out there who their kids had died, or there's mm-hmm. children out there whose parents had died before.
Right. And there's no trace of where they came from. Right.
Yeah.
And his adoptive parents,
they're still alive. They're in their 80s now.
Yeah. And so, and what I'm gathering from what you're telling me, like they took good care of him. Like they were.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
That's, you know, in a sense, a good thing to know that he was raised in a good home. He wasn't, you know, shuffled from home to home or things like that. So that.
But Jen, listen, they took him off me and says that, like, I couldn't bring him up because I had no money, I had no husband, and that I wouldn't rear him right. That's basically what they were saying.
Right, and they're wrong for that. Absolutely, 100%.
But he was brought up in a good family
right.
and ended up a bank robber.
I was wondering if you were going to go into that tonight.
It's okay.
That's some shit, isn't it? I was wondering if you were going to go into that tonight. So now that we've opened the door, we might as well just dive into it.
So I'm like, well, none of my kids I reared on my own ended up a bank robber.
Marie said, I may have been young and dumb, but none of these motherfuckers were out here stealing shit.
Marie just solved that whole debate on nature versus nurture, didn't she?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What is it? As he says, it wasn't their fault. He made the wrong choices in life. He owns it.
Yeah, he takes responsibility, and that's yeah.
And that's what you do.
Well, and you know that takes a lot to say I'm the responsible party. There's a lot of people in this world that don't do that. So
amen.
So you got to give him that, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how long has he been out of prison?
Maybe about 13 years now, I think.
Oh, long time.
Yeah.
Okay. See? Changed him. Learned his lesson. Smart boy.
But listen, his adoptive mom, when he went into prison, God bless her, because she wasn't used to anything like that, she took him up a picnic basket. She thought that she was going to have a picnic with him.
Oh,
that's sad.
Now, have you met his parents, his adoptive parents? No. Never know.
So I was supposed to meet them, but seemingly I had done, and I've only found this out recently, I had done an interview and that she wasn't happy with the interview I'd done. Oh. But that's my story.
Do you know what it is she said, or that you said that she wasn't happy with?
Oh, because basically what we're saying is it was coerced adoptions, which it was. That's what we're fighting the inquiry for, because it was forced, coerced.
Right. But I'm sure the adoptive parents didn't know anything about whatever racket these children, girls' homes had going on. I am sure that they went into it blind.
Blind, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because seemingly they were supposed to have a family member's baby they were going to adopt. And then the priest says to them, no, don't take a family member. I'll get you a baby.
Oh.
But whatever the mother read in my report, or the report that was done on my son, she knew that I was in the care system as well. And she asked, could she have both of us? And that she would teach me how to do things and that. And she was refused.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So I don't know whether that might be the part, because I made that known. Like, nobody knows her name or anything. I've never given out their names of that. Wow. And I've always said, like, he had a great childhood. A lot of people don't know about the bank robber bit, but he had a great childhood. He was going abroad 3-4 times a year with them. He had a great life.
Wonderful.
So I never slagged them off or anything. But I did say, after I'd found out about this, that she was refused. So maybe that annoyed her. I don't know. I really don't know. Because anything else is all my truth.
Right.
Wow. I don't even know where we are now. I got lost with the bank robbers.
So now, do you have a close relationship with your granddaughter?
Which granddaughter?
The, what was her name, Liliana?
Yeah. Well, I see that. I see them when I come to Derry, and they're actually coming over to mine now in October again. So I've just seen them last week. They're away on holidays now at the minute, but I'll probably see them before I go home again, and then they're coming to stay at mine's then for a long weekend in October. So yeah, he has a son as well.
Awesome. How old are they?
The girl is 12, coming 13, and the wee boy 7.
She said wee boy. Little boy. I just love your, I love the words. Yeah, so they're coming to visit. Well, so then you've established like a solid relationship with your grandchildren. That's amazing. After that, you and your son have been through getting to here, like that is amazing.
Yeah, the thing is, so he came over and he spent 6 months with me over in England, and they feel. I knew it because I was dealing with adopted children. Well, they don't like to be called adopted children now. It's children now, adults, they get called.
Yeah.
And in our group, there's a lot of children now, adults, and there's a lot of birth mothers. And the thing is, I know from them how they've reacted to meeting their families. And so like some of them feel guilty when they're with one set and won't contact the other set, and then when they're with that set they won't contact the biological ones then, and it swings and roundabouts. And I just say, like, I have to let him do it the way he wants to do it. I'm never going to force him.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, not something we're getting into tonight, but he ran into trauma right away when you guys all got reunited. And, you know, which has to be, you know, something else for, you know, you and him both to process. And so, I mean, it's like 7:42.
Yeah, it's sort of bittersweet to have. Again, one son, and then I lost one.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of a good spot to leave it, because we're going to dive into that, but we have to decide what platform, because that one, we're going to have to really, it's going to be hard to get the language out on this platform without getting the live shut off to tell the story. So I think we're going to have to think about where we're recording that one. Because there's just so many words that would get us like shut down right now. So what do you think, ladies? A good place to stop and open up the panel?
Absolutely. I think it's question time if anyone wants to
pop and in. Let me fix the grid, and there's Catherine's. Let me make the grid bigger. Hang on. I really should try to get faster at this, but I'm not. Hang on, I still got to make it more boxes. Let's see when I need more boxes. Hang on, I'm trying. This is like, you can only change one portion of the grid at a time. And it's really, really freaking frustrating, okay? And here we go. Hang on. You make Marie big. All right. I've got it. Okay, we're open for questions.
Well, Catherine, if you would like to ask your questions to Murray.
I wasn't ready for that.
Well, we can come back.
Yeah.
All right, honey.
I just have one question. Like, when the adoptive parents would come and like adopt the children, do you know if the homes, were they getting like any kind of kickback? Like, were they getting money like for these kids? Like, were they like people paying for the, you know what I mean, Marie?
They were. They would class it as a donation, though.
No, so that's how they were getting away with it. They were just saying it was a donation.
Well, yeah, because it was a religious institution. It sounds like they were black marketing babies, and I don't know if you're allowed to say that on here. But that's why I'm asking for the information, because I'm going to dig into this.
So the thing is, I know yous aren't from Ireland, but yous now know that there's like Northern Ireland and there's Southern Ireland.
Yeah.
So there's a border you have to cross over, right? Now, back in the day when I had my son, you weren't allowed to bring cigarettes, alcohol, washing powder, cooking oil up over the border without getting stopped. Right, so my thing is, how were they able to do it with children?
That's what I was just thinking. You couldn't bring laundry soap, but you could take a baby? Like, that makes no sense to me. I'm telling you, these people were, I'm digging into this. This was just sounds like a completely illegal operation under the umbrella of the church.
Exactly.
Yeah, it seems like Northern and Southern Ireland, the religious part of it was all in cahoots with each other.
Yep.
There was no border then when it came to religion.
You know why? Both sides were making money off of it.
Exactly.
I did finally come up with a question. How much interaction did you have with the other girls there?
This is what I couldn't remember. Any of the other, I remembered one girl's name, and I don't know why I remembered it. But after I'd gone public, Catherine, they somebody had wrote in to the paper that I was in and says, can you pass this on to me? And it was to join a group on Facebook, but it was a private group, and it was for survivors of the mother and baby home that I was in. So I went in and joined it, and straight away when I joined it, two girls who remembered me was in the group, and they came in and they were like, I says them about the typing, this is what it says, I'll explain these later. So I says them, the only thing I remember about it was typing. She went, yeah, Marie, they said we were doing a course so that we could become secretaries afterwards. Like, what?
Wow.
So yeah, that we would have be able to go and get a job.
Wow. So that's why they have
I don't know. I'm probably jumping ahead, and you don't have to answer because I don't know if we're to that point yet. But how many mothers have you reconnected with?
Good question.
Who was in the same time as me?
Or yeah, just basically the same.
Or just any mothers?
Well, like, really any mothers, like, that have been through what you've been through.
Oh, God, hundreds. like hundreds.
Oh my, not many.
Yeah. Hundreds of babies.
Wow.
You're talking about there were 64,000 babies adopted. That's the figure. Right. Out of them, within the last 2 years, there was 151 of them who'd been contacted by the Irish government to tell them that their adoptions was all illegal.
Crazy.
Because that it didn't...
Alarming.
Well, the law about adoption didn't come in until 1953. And these homes were running from 1922.
Insane.
So I have a mother.
So from 1922 to 1950, whatever, these homes were pretty much just taking girls' babies and giving them to other people.
Yes.
Crazy.
That is, Marie. That is, it is.
Yep. There is, I know one guy who ended up in South. Africa.
You're freezing up a little bit for me, Marie. I don't know if you're freezing
for me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she froze up a little
Gone
bit.
Again. Come on.
So now what were you saying about Africa?
So one guy I know ended up in South Africa.
Oh my goodness.
That was adopted. Ended up in South Africa. The most that I know of is America and a few to Australia. And like so them
pretty
people
much,
have got
it was everywhere. They just went everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, English Crown. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Australia, South Africa, and Ireland. Yeah. What's around?
Well, the thing is, some mothers run away from Ireland and went to England to get away from mm-hmm. going into the mother and baby homes. And they would be caught. They don't even know how they were caught. I've spoke to a few of them. And they didn't know how they were actually found out. Maybe it was when they turned up at the hospital. The hospital would contact. But it was called the Catholic Rescue Crusade. And they would come and either take the mothers back to Ireland on a plane with either a nun or a priest would accompany them, or they would let them have their babies in England and then take the babies back to Ireland because they didn't want any babies born from Catholic mothers going into Church of England homes.
Oh, wow.
So they did all this under, like, the disguise of the church, basically.
Well, it was both the church and the state, because the church was the ones who run the homes. The majority of the homes was all run by the church. And, of course, the state paid the homes for the mothers to be in there.
Right. It was the collusion.
Unless a family privately done it themselves. The majority of the people. And the youngest person ever known to be in one is 12.
Oh, wow.
Well, I really wonder if it's not just, like you said, church and state, because my mother's cousin in the 50s was a teenager who was unwed, got married, was sent to a convent, and literally scrubbed floors until she gave birth to her little girl that was taken for adoption. And that was in Canada.
Oh, so they have the homes in Canada them as well?
Apparently at that time they did. Now, I don't know because I don't have any contact with that family anymore. And unfortunately, that cousin, my mother's cousin, had passed away long before my mother did, but that had happened to her. So with you saying this, I'm just wondering because, you know, at that time, Canada, again, is still under the crown.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, the ones I'm talking about were definitely Irish run because I've gone to the House of Parliament with the English mother and babies. There was a few in England. There wasn't as many as there was in Ireland.
Right.
But they won't even give their mother and babies an apology.
Oh, wow.
So the guy who was there had...
What's up, bud?
I was there 2 years ago at the House of Parliament. Yeah. And he stood up and he was like, oh, yeah, it should never happen. We feel really sorry if he's in that. And then he went, but... And I went to the people, get up. Get up and walk out of here now because he's not going to give you... what you asked for. And they were like to me, oh, shh. And security was brought in. I'm like, I'm telling you now. And the next thing out of his breath was, I don't think we should apologize because we weren't the people back then.
Wow.
No, but you are the descendants of the people that was back then in charge.
Right.
Sorry, right. Jess. Jess no, has a right. question.
Jess has a question.
Let's give her Sorry. A minute.
I didn't no, want to talk cool. over anyone. So being a mom, I can't help but to think the devastation of losing your child. But I also want to know the good side of it, too. When you finally got to meet up with him again after so many years as a mother, what did you feel? Like, what was going through your mind? Like, what was going through your soul at that time?
So we had this hug. And it seemed to go on forever. But it was like, he's not a baby anymore.
Yeah.
The last time I held him, he was a baby. And then it was like, he was 40. He was a big grown man.
Do you still have that motherly, nurturing, like, bond with him still?
Oh, even God, though, yeah.
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 So you never lost that?
So... One of the girls had sneaked in a camera, and I actually had a picture of me and my son from he was 2 days old.
Oh, wow. So you stared at that picture for 40
oh
years.
Oh, God, yes, yeah, still have it. Still have it. And when we went to meet him, I got him a black and white picture done of it.
Oh,
and brought it down to him for his, and got it framed and everything and brought it down to him. And the whole time that we were there, he sat with his picture in his hands.
Have you asked him how he feels? Like, if you care to share, like, how he feels about the, like, reuniting with each other? Like, has he shared that with you?
He hasn't says anything to me, but he has says it to his siblings. Like, he says that he can't understand, even though he's been told, like, by social services that it was the law that I couldn't go looking for him. And I think until he actually seen... His partner looked me up on Google and they'd seen that I had been proactive in looking for him. That then he understood then.
That's really tough.
But they do say that adopt the children, even if they've had a great childhood, great life with the adoptive parents, they still feel rejected and abandonment, and it could be subconsciously they even feel it. It doesn't, yeah. doesn't have to come out, but that's how they do feel.
I think I may have missed this one, but did he know his whole life he was adopted?
From he was six.
Six. So for his knowledgeable brain, he knew his entire life. Man, that's rough.
You know, I'm going to have to agree with that. Like, you know, I guess I'm going public with this for the first time, but my Zach is adopted. His dad is his dad, but I adopted Zach at birth. And he was accidentally told when he was about 11. So I have to agree with Marie. I think they always feel like something's missing after they know. And, you know, Zach is even autistic, so he doesn't, you know, make a lot of the connections that we make, and he still knows that something's different. So I have to totally agree with you on that, Marie. There's just always something, I think, in the back of their head.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. It's hard. It's hard when... they go away as a child and come back a grown person. And it's like you keep thinking about all the years you'd missed out.
Mm-hmm.
And they, yeah, they probably think the same. I don't know.
Probably.
Well, I know from my, like, so I was never adopted, but I was fostered, no one didn't know the children's homes. And I remember, like, me being young, and I'd be sitting watching the TV, and I'd be, like, Gordon Honeycomb was the newsreader at the time, and Dave Allen was an Irish comedian. And I'd be like, so I was about 13 when I found out that that wasn't my family. So I used to sit there and think, oh, wonder's that my dad on the TV and that.
Right. That's perfectly understandable though, right?
I'd love that person to be my dad and that. It's like, and the thing is, I never ever thought about saying, oh, wonder's that person my mum or anything. It was dad that I had in my head.
You know what? And there goes back to the tried and true. Little girls and their daddies, little boys and their mommies. Now that's just how it goes.
My math just started mathing. You met your son when he was double the age, more than double the age you were when you last saw him.
Yes.
He was 40 years old.
And you had been 18.
I last saw him at 2 weeks.
Yeah, but more than double your age when you last saw him. Because you were 18.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know why my mind took so long to math that, but no. Mind blowing.
What year did you... How long ago?
So he was born in 1981 and I met him in 1921 or 2021.
Wow. So this has only been 3 years.
3 years, yeah.
Wow. Now we got to be careful here, Jen, because this could go into the one that we have to be careful about.
Right. No. I didn't know how long. Of a time period it had been
that's crazy.
He was able to reconnect with him.
Yeah, it's literally only 3 years ago.
My word.
So thinking about mathing here, you had to nurse the baby and feed the baby for those 2 weeks that you had him. So I'm going to go ahead and assume I've already answered my own question here. But after those 2 weeks, when you didn't know the baby, you know, the baby had left and you were just nursing, did they take any care of you as the mother to help you with milk reduction or anything like that? I assume not. I saw that coming.
No.
I'm so sorry. God.
Nothing.
Wow. No even, cabbage leaves, nothing.
Even when I ended up in the mental institution because I had OD'd, all I got from the nuns was, I'm very disappointed in you.
Wow. Well, how about we're really disappointed in them?
Yeah, how about that? Wow. I'm sure people said it, but you are so strong to be able to voice everything that happened to you. And it is such a pleasure to be able to sit here and listen to you and see how strong of a woman you are. You really inspire a lot of us. I don't know if anyone's saying it, but I will say it out loud. And but for me personally, thank you for, you know, getting your voice out there and trying to make a change, because a lot of people won't. So you are the real hero here that is trying to make a change for all of the future babies and moms, and even the past ones, to make change. So thank you.
I wouldn't say I'm a hero, Jess, but if I can make one other person lose that stigma of shame and that what they'd done was a sin, when all we actually done was fell in love with somebody just because we weren't married.
Even if the whole world doesn't change, you're going to make a change for somebody, even if you never know it. I hope you realize that.
I hope so.
Absolutely. And you know,
I'm going to get their voice. That's what I want, for people to get their voices.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, this went on. I just like skimmed over just a couple articles as we were on here. This went on like in the masses, okay, when your experience happened. But you know what? I'm thinking this is still going on, not only in Ireland, but in the United States. Everywhere we're selling babies, we're, you know, things like this are still happening. And there's so much going on in our crazy, fucked up world right now. Nobody's really looking at it anymore. But it's a big thing, and it's happening everywhere still. And a lot of times, just like 40 years ago, it's being covered up by states and churches and organizations that are going through loopholes to make buying and selling children, especially of teenagers, and making it legal. And this is very upsetting to me. And I, like I said, I think it's a new journey I'm getting ready to take.
Well, the thing is, Rennie, they are still trying to cover it up, because I done 2 4-hour and then a 2-hour interview with the Garda. So the Garda is the South of Ireland's police force.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them. They're paid by the state, right, but they're investigating the state now.
Right. Right.
We all knew what was going to happen there. So they've come back and says there's no criminology involved in it. Well, I beg to differ, because to me, if you're bringing, so Southern Ireland and Northern Ireland is classed as two different countries, because Northern Ireland's under the British rule and Southern Ireland's under the Irish rule, right? So if you're taking children up over the border to a different country, we would class that as trafficking.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They don't class it as trafficking.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to.
That needs to change. I mean, that needs to change.
Yeah, but they're not going to go the state against the state. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I know exactly what you
mean. The state pays their wages. So to me, it was a whole waste of time, them even doing an inquiry at all on that. Because we knew what was going to come back. Thank you very much, Ruby. We knew what was definitely going to come back on it.
Right.
Before, and when he phoned me up to tell me, I was like, look, I didn't expect any less because you're not going to bite the hand that feeds you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right, guys. Marie, I want to thank you so much for giving us your time. And what do you think about the next one? Are we going to do every day till it's done, or you want to take a day or two break? How do you want to do it?
I'll do tomorrow night. I won't be able to do Wednesday night.
All right.
I can do tomorrow night again.
Tomorrow, 7, good for everybody?
Wonderful.
Hannah?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right. And again, Marie, thank you so much. Like, you were just an inspiration, you know, to us all. And just amazing. I just love you.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me come on here to tell my story.
Thanks for letting us give you a platform to do it and giving us the opportunity to, you know, talk to you and ask you questions and, you know, just hear, I don't know, nothing is working right for me. I can't get my can. There we go. Yeah, it's a pleasure and an honor to be able to get your story out there. It's one that I think everybody needs to hear. And I hope that whatever we're doing helps you get it out to the masses. And I'm going to shut this live down now so I can edit it. I will probably open one up in a few minutes just because, you know, just have a fun live. But anyway, again, thank you so much, Marie.
Thank you.
And thank everybody that came.
I'm going to grab a granny now.
Okay. Is that a nap? Does that mean a nap? What does it mean?
Oh, drink, smoke.
Oh, look, I gotcha. All right. I'm going to get it. I'm learning. All right, I'm going to shut this one down. You guys give me about 15 minutes and I'll open another one.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Night.